Okay, we'll get started with the Historical Preservation Committee board agenda. Calling to order at 5:05 p.m. We have everyone here. Carol has resigned.
I saw that.
Due to time commitment of her various volunteer work. So unfortunately, we have left her. Was there anyone else with you, Carol? She was our newest member. She was 2 months, maybe?
Couple meetings, I don't know.
Couple meetings, yeah.
We were pretty sporadic there for a little while.
Yeah. We were full for a little bit, now we're out again. So if anybody knows of anybody again that would like to get on the committee.
Can't hear you.
If anybody knows of anyone that would want to get on the committee, send them my way.
We do have right here. I'm a good
I didn't get the names, but I told you to have them contact Tracy. Did you tell those people to contact Tracy?
They have filled an application form, and they can go right out to our website, and I get the application form there. So if anybody's interested.
Two different people.
Okay, yeah, either they can get a hold of me, or they can just go out to the website, too. Either way. So now we have one spot again.
We have a spot open. So, moving on to number two, modify adopt agenda. As this is going to be a working session, I would entertain a motion. We want to set the next meeting first, in case people have to leave. That might be a good idea. We ran into that problem last meeting, so.
And Jennifer does have another meeting she needs to get to, so by 6:45, she needs to be on the road for another meeting, so.
I'm learning. I didn't know. I was thinking this one from 5 to 6, but now I'm not planning anything.
Well, usually that works, but the last meeting went a little long.
Yeah.
So do we want to keep that agenda like it is? Okay, entertain a motion to adopt the agenda. Adopt the agenda. Barb? Anyone against it? Minutes. Approval of minutes dated November 28th. In your board packet.
We weren't listed on attending the meeting.
Sorry about that. I will list it
And I'd also, wanted to show that there was extensive debate on this historic business.
Okay.
Well, I guess there was a discussion. I guess we'll use that word. There was an involved discussion. The procedures.
Who else? Who said you again, Jen?
Linda Ferguson was at the last meeting.
Joe was also.
Okay.
And Joe. Pete Angelello.
If you can get me my spelling, so last name.
Yeah.
Linda Peterson.
That would be
you can get my written too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Lang was here as well. Briefly. Any other additions to the minutes?
So I'm sorry, go back to what you want added about, what did you say, Lois?
Well, a discussion took place on the procedures that were going to be followed regarding the listing of the properties and the necessities to meet certain standards.
And then also on the specific districts that were approved versus proposed. So there's a number of districts proposed, but only a handful of them approved.
Okay, anything else? the edited, what do you call it? Additional information?
Amended.
Amended minutes?
Motion.
Josh, thank you. And a second?
Second.
Steve, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
And then we'll move into our working session with Jennifer.
Before Jennifer and I talked a little bit on the phone. Wait, no, you want to try to remember how to.
No, I left after we got done talking, which is part of the reason why I was coming.
That's right. We talked a bit about how to handle this session and what she wants to do. She really wants to focus on what needs, where we're going from here, where you guys are at on the research. If you're having any problems, she can help with some of their ideas on different things to do and moving forth. So we're not going to be backtracking on things again because we got to keep moving forward on this. And the survey that was done, the initial survey that was done, the recon survey that was done, meets all the state guidelines and the state requirements, so we're going to move forward in that regard and not regress on that and keep moving with the project. So Jennifer's going to kind of go through, you know, the research and explain, you know, what needs to get done versus what doesn't and what they'll do. So you guys don't feel, I got comments from people a lot that you're feeling really overwhelmed with the amount of work and what needed to get done and having trouble finding what we needed.
Well, the list that I got at my house was 20 pages.
I know.
There were 39 names on each page, and it was, to say the least, a little overwhelming.
A lot overwhelming, yes.
And it was before Christmas, and that's when I called you, Jennifer, and never received an answer.
Right. I wanted to wait till tonight so we could talk in person.
But this was before Christmas I called you. We're in January now. And, you know, and this is the time that we would, you know, take up the information.
There's going to be a couple more months for the time to do the research. And frankly, we were very busy around Christmas and through New Year's responding to other things with the project.
5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I assumed we would address it tonight and it would be better or clearer to address it in person rather than over the phone.
Before we go on, I just wanted to say the initial windshield survey was great. You've covered 5,000 properties and identified. What's that?
Can't hear you.
Oh, I was just saying that the initial windshield survey that you did, that you looked at every house in the village, and that you looked at 5,000 houses, looked carefully at 2,500 of them, and very carefully at 700 of them. So, you know, I think that maybe a 10% error rate may be in there someplace, but for the scope of the project that was done, I thought it was done very, the windshield survey was done very well.
So we're just going to go through and work it. And you guys ask your questions as you go along. Like I said, I know a lot of you felt really overwhelmed and didn't understand what to do. And Jennifer's here to kind of go through that with you. And I know you probably got some things done and, you know, things that you started and had some success with, but I don't want you to feel like you have to do it all. That's not the case at all. It is Jennifer's project. She's charged with doing it and making sure it's complete. Any help that you can provide with that history that you can bring, any information on the houses that were part of that 600, is what she's looking for. And then those other sheets with notable people and all of that is what the information she's looking for. If we do not get it, if we can't find it, we don't have it, that's her job to find it and take care of it. So don't worry about it. Feel like you have to get something on all of those homes. That was never the case, and that was maybe not articulated well enough at the first meeting. So,
Jennifer, I just gave the sports thing to you, and it was
sports
almost
right here.
It was almost overwhelming.
Almost.
There were only maybe 15 people in it, and mostly Packer players. But I didn't include marriages because I'm not going to tell you who's going to have those marriages.
There were a lot of them, weren't there. Or to keep track.
I found very few, I got the wrong, but I think you'll understand it when you see it.
Okay.
If you want me to do it differently, I just put facts, though.
That's good. The stuff that we've gotten from you so far has been great. So
I already forgot what I gave you.
It was some information on some, I think, more notable people in town. There were several obituaries. There was some information on town and country. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be more things to come. A lot more things to come.
A lot more.
So the things that we've gotten from you so far have been great. And I would say on the sports figures, I mean, Packers are going to be an obvious one, and that's going to be unique. Alloway, Green Bay,
you didn't want
DePere
high school
kind of thing.
And college players. I don't know them
anything. No, I usually stick to the professional sports. I usually don't get into the college. Yes, I think you need to be in there too, and you should not feel embarrassed or ashamed or anything about that either. So.
Well, they talked me into it. They said it's not about you, it's about just sports history.
It is. It is. No, you should definitely be in there. It is one thing that's very unique to northeastern Wisconsin as opposed to other parts of the state where you have the Packer players. I mean, we've gone into other communities where they've had other, we worked on Burlington last year. Well, Tony Romo from the Cowboys is from Burlington, went to high school there. So he got, even though he's new and he's current, he got a little bit of a blurb in there. When we did Whitefish Bay a couple years ago, Craig Council, who was a Milwaukee Brewer and played for several other baseball teams, he got a little mention in there too. So whereas we go to these other communities and there might only be one person we can talk about, you guys have a lot of people that we can talk about here just because of the proximity in Green Bay and whatnot. So that is a unique Alloway aspect that we're not going to get in other communities in the state. But it doesn't have to be all Packers. I know you have some concern that I'm giving maybe too much to Vince Lombardi, but it's a unique thing. It's not something that every community in Wisconsin can
only. The only thing I have a problem with is Sunset Park is going to be a district. You don't really know what goes on. All the important businessmen live in Sunlight.
Right.
Could you tell us what the districts are going to be?
There are the three districts that we had looked at last time. And I think it would be worth revisiting those just for a couple minutes. Just to confirm the names, because I know last time we had said we hadn't named them yet, and we threw some names out at the last meeting, and I just want to confirm those names. And we kind of just had numbers associated with them at the last meeting.
I can make some copies. But you all were given them at the last meeting.
Yeah, they were all at the last meeting.
Anybody else has seen them?
Do you want me to have? How many people need them?
I have them.
Yeah, I have it for the phone.
Okay. Well, the first district was Alloway Terrace, South Jackson Street, South Van Buren Street, a little bit of Derby Lane, and a little bit of Catherine Street.
Yeah.
And the name that we had thrown out potentially last time was Robinson Hill. And was Robinson the name of the farmer that owned that land
initially?
Elizabeth
Baylor goes back to 1824 when she came here, and she called it Robinson Hill.
Robinson Hill, yeah.
Robinson Hill is technically a subdivision.
And that is in this area.
That Diaper Alley is Robinson Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have McLean subdivision is the major one. McLean is the major one,
mm-hmm.
which is more current.
But why in the world would someone be included in the district?
they can approve it. I mean, what streets are that? I did bring our maps along because when we talk about these areas specifically, you have to point them to a map.
Sunset Park is the river end of Sunlight Park. Sunset Park,
district
Lombardi,
number three.
District number three, Lombardi, is the west end of Sunlight Park.
Okay, so it's Arrowhead, St. Francis, and Briar?
Arrowhead and St. Francis.
Do you want the copy of this? You're not going to find this in place. The man that developed Sunset Park.
There's Sunlight.
Sunset or Sunlight?
Well,
Sunset?
Sunset is already district.
And I'll take any kind of information on Sunset.
You're talking about Sunset.
I've done the research with the names, and I went through the building permits.
Sunlight Park is very, very important. Did you not read it? Yeah, very important.
There were buildings, there were spot buildings that we surveyed in that area on Roselawn and Briar and St. Francis. It was very patchy. There was not enough consistency there. Plus, I believe, and I'm not certain because I don't have all my information with me, that many of those buildings, did that even stretch into the 70s, too, that it wasn't just 50s and 60s?
I just got through before I came here talking to Carolyn Barnard. She is in her 90s, and her father-in-law developed Sunlight Park.
The Sunlight Park was in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s,
mm-hmm.
And then with additions going in, and then Lombardi.
Here's the
Jennifer, I think I've been to her. Katie came from 1919 for Sunlight Park. They started selling
Yes, out. Yes, I got that. We did look at the area around. I gotta make my maps match up here. We did look at the area around the park, specifically like on Arrowhead and near St. Francis. We did drive the state through that area because, I want to say it's on Arrowhead, there were several really beautiful 1920s, 1930s houses, one right after the other, and the state did not approve that area. We tried. I think part of it was it was a bit too small.
The what?
The state did not approve that area. We showed it to them, and I think part of the problem was that it was a bit too small. There were maybe only four houses on the one side of the street. On the other side, if the two houses on Arrowhead by Riverside Drive would have been either more intact or older, I think they maybe would have gone for it. But there wasn't enough there. The state did not feel that there was enough there.
Oh, my gosh.
And we did show it to them. And I was actually surprised that I couldn't get them to at least take that one block of Arrowhead.
If I gave you a list of the people that lived on Arrowhead. If you can do Sunset Park, I'm sorry for taking the time, but I know
there are certain homes in that area that we did, and if we can tag... If we can tag the homes that we did do to important people, that's a good thing. I mean, it's not like we didn't do any homes in that area. We did. It was just very sporadic.
But
those in Sunlight Park, if they're not in the district, they don't have any significance at all to the.
No, they do. I mean, there were spotty ones that we surveyed.
But do they get tax breaks or anything for being near a historic district?
Near? No. They have to be in it.
But if you can compare it, if you can put Lombardi as the prime target for Sunset Park.
He's not. I did see some communication where somebody here was referring it to as the Lombardi district, and it is not the Lombardi district. Sunset Circle district. It's the collection of homes in that circle that.
But the homes in Sunlight Park are older.
They are older, but they're not as intact. There's been work done to them. There's aluminum siding on them. There's vinyl siding on them. They are not in the same condition they were in necessarily when they were built.
Well, I'm sorry to be taking your time, but
no,
I have some books here. I have one from Kimani that was a little amazing, and I counted. Yeah, it's approved by the Secretary of Interior and the Historical District and the National Register of Historic Places, and also in the Wisconsin Register of Historic Places. There are three with all the windows, eight with aluminum siding, and eight with additions on.
And depending on where the additions are, sometimes additions are okay, sometimes they're not. It's most likely that the ones with aluminum siding were considered non-contributing in the district, which means they're not eligible for the tax credits. Districts are a whole different animal.
If somebody removes the aluminum siding and puts on an acceptable siding, can it then go from non-contributing to contributing?
It depends. If they remove the aluminum siding and they find the original wood siding under there and it's in good shape, which sometimes that happens. Sometimes the aluminum siding actually acts as a protector. In fact, I'm working on a house in Cedarburg right now where that's the exact. They took the aluminum off and the wood was in fabulous condition. They just had to putty the nail holes and repaint it and they're good to go. So there are some times where if they remove that siding, it can change from ineligible or non-contributing to contributing. But that whole process needs to be worked on with the Wisconsin Historical Society. You can't just take it off and say, hey, we're contributing now. That doesn't happen. But there are a lot of tax credit projects where, and sometimes the state makes them take the aluminum siding off first, and then they can proceed with the tax credit project to prove that it's there.
How does the project work? I mean, what's it based on that they get a credit on their real estate taxes? How is it?
It's not real estate taxes. It's your personal income taxes.
Oh, your personal income.
Taxes.
And what criteria is there?
The home needs to be listed in the National Register or a contributing building in a National Register district.
This is their personal income tax.
Personal income tax, or if it's a business, it can be the business taxes. This is way beyond the scope of the survey, and usually at our wrap-up meeting when the survey is done, sometimes Joe will come back and talk about the tax credit program a little bit. So I don't want to spend a ton of time on this tonight because it's way outside of...
I mean, is this something really worthwhile?
Yes.
Like 30% of the project. It's over maybe 3 years?
You can stretch it out over 5 years. There's a minimum project cost of $10,000 on a house. A roof could cost you $10,000 easily. Repainting your house could cost you $10,000 easily. So there's a minimum threshold of $10,000. Whatever you spend, and the project has to be approved by the state first, so there's a little bit of bureaucracy with it, a little bit of red tape, but if you go through the process... If you're spending $100,000 on your house, let's say you're repainting it, you're putting a new roof on, maybe you need to update the electrical, maybe there's some other things that you're working on, 25% of that you can take in a tax credit. So if you spend $100,000, you could get $25,000 tax credit. Let's say you don't need all $25,000 in that first year. You can spread that out over 5 years, so you could take $5,000 a year for 5 years. There are some stipulations with that. You need to maintain ownership of the home for 5 years afterwards. If you would sell it during that five-year time period, they would actually make you pay back a portion of the tax credit. So if you would sell it back, if you would sell the home after the first year of that $25,000 tax credit, they'd make you pay $20,000 of it back. If you would sell it in year four, they'd make you only pay back $5,000 of it. So it's prorated, it's proportionate. But for some homeowners, there's been some very successful tax credit projects, not only on homes but on commercial buildings all over the state. It's a little bit of red tape. There's some bureaucracy. Because it's a credit, you have to do the work how they want you to do it. That's sort of the, you know, it's that kind of, what do they call it, like the carrot and the stick sort of thing, you know. Yeah, we'll give you this tax credit, but for that tax credit, you know, we're really going to be paying attention to the historic details and that you do it just right. But it's a great program. Mm-hmm.
And then commercial is different?
Commercial is very similar.
But you get more
tax
breaks?
It's the 25% again. The commercial, it's 20% federal, 5% state, whereas the residential one, I think all 25% of it is state.
So it's 25%.
Yeah, but on both programs, it's 25%.
Does the structure need to be in a nationally recognized district in order to be on the register?
It needs to either be individually eligible in and of itself or in a district.
Okay. So let me clarify that. All these 600 that are on here
are survey worthy.
Are survey worthy.
That means they're of interest. Now, if we can find additional information on these, let's say it was a really important business owner in Green Bay or something, like the ones in Sunlight Park. You know, maybe we only surveyed a dozen buildings in Sunlight Park, but let's say all dozen of those were really important people.
Oh, yes, they were.
Then we can, not only do we have architecture, because those ones in Sunlight Park are kind of, you know, they're of interest, but they're not high style architecture. But let's say they're also attached to a really important person. Then we go after it for the important person, and then those houses become eligible for tax credit.
This is a personal list that we put together. They're almost all that important.
Okay.
Now I just talked to somebody. The first president of the Packers lives here.
Okay.
Almost all the big businesses that are in Green Bay live here.
Yeah.
I would hope you would express to them that Sunlight Park is very important.
You know, we drove through it. I do have to say that is an area that we tried to do. There were several areas throughout town that we had them look at, and we drive up and down and back and forth, and he.
So even with the notable people, we can't get that as a district.
Not as a district, but let's go after the individual buildings.
Yeah.
Let's go after the individual buildings. We're not going to be able to get that as a district, but let's hit the individual buildings that were surveyed there.
They will be, most of those will be in a book that we do like this, right?
Yeah. There's no tax credits and no national recognition. And then also...
Unless we get it, there could be on the individual level.
Right.
There can be on an individual
level. Just because it's not a district, and clarify this if I'm wrong, just because it's not a district doesn't mean that they can't get tax credit and they can't be...
Or they don't have the individual.
It's only going to be less than... There's going to be less than half.
Or, you know, there's going to be a handful. Yeah.
But if they don't call... But we have some in our community that are just individual homes.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of communities do.
Well, I mean, we have some, and I'm sure the communities do too. So I don't want you to think just because it's not a district that rules every house out that isn't in the district, but that's not true at all. You can still get the criteria, meet the criteria as an individual building.
Yeah.
And still.
Well, for instance, one of them that you've got. Somebody that I don't know, I just went to, but she told me years ago, the man that built the building, St. Francis and Langley, she was telling me, it's a big house. Ewing lived in it. Mrs. Ewing is still in the house. But Roger Minahan built it. So that's just...
And exactly, that came too on the list that we got from Bobby, the Minahan brothers, both had... Burners Grove.
Burners Grove
Architect.
Oh, yeah.
Which building at St. Francis and Langley is it?
30-something. There's only two buildings.
You know, like corner?
What corner?
Do you know north, south, east, west?
Langley.
Which?
It's a big white one.
In the circle on Langley?
Yeah.
30,
right at the end of Langley.
I'm going to show you a map. This is exactly why I brought the maps today, because you guys talk about the people. I need to see where on the map they are so that we can get an address to coordinate.
Get the whole village map.
Okay, so here's Langley. And here's St. Francis, it's this one. We surveyed that one.
Yes.
So
it's on here.
3430?
Yeah.
But that,
well, if that is it.
This one, I guess?
It was built along.
1938.
Yep.
1938.
And that one was surveyed.
1938.
Got a number here, we surveyed it.
That's what it says in here, if it's the same house.
Oh, that's early considered.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm off the line.
No.
And that was, I think, some of those 30.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Considering what someone's set park is.
Oh, and that's one of the individually eligible ones, too. What's the name of that house? What's the, who built it?
Roger Minahan.
Roger Minahan. Built it or was the original owner?
Oh, no, he was the original owner.
Original owner, okay. Roger Minahan?
Minahan.
M-I-N-A-H-A-N?
And then the Ewing family.
Okay.
Bought it.
That's one of the individually eligible ones.
And Mrs. Ewing still lives there.
Okay.
And so just to recap what you just said, you identified you drove a bunch of different areas. You identified survey-worthy homes, and then you kind of grouped them into potential districts.
When there's a high hit rate.
When you had, so you grouped them kind of as a potential district.
You look at this map and you're like, holy cow, there's a lot of things that we surveyed there. This is a potential district. You know, there was.
Well, it's a district, but
this area on South Clay, too, where we.
Right, is contributing.
Right.
And so you had, what we have is survey-worthy, a clustering of survey-worthy homes became a potential district.
Mm-hmm.
You drove the state through there, and they said, that's not, there's not enough here to be a district. And I think the number is like, it has to be around 80% hit rate. That's
yeah.
The number I've seen. And so,
that would be a good number.
So we have survey-worthy, and then the state narrowed down. How many general districts did you have?
Probably more than 20.
You said 9, 10, 12.
Yeah. I mean,
okay, so there were a lot of general survey-worthy districts,
yeah.
But the ones that met the very strict requirements of that, just call it 80% rule.
Yep.
Those are the, it got narrowed down to just those three,
yes.
Because that was the best concentration.
Yes.
Yes.
I want to go back to the names here again, so we can make sure that we've got the right name. So as far as this district on the north side that we saw, Robinson Hill, is that a name that you guys like? Is that the name that you want to call this?
Well, the choices are.
And we can mention that
yeah.
It was locally known as Diaper
right.
Alley
the
in the write-up. We'll mention it.
The railroad men that were on the crew working for the railroad nicknamed it Diaper Alley.
Okay.
Because when they drove the trains through that area, all the diapers were hanging out.
So the most authentic name for that is the Thomas McLean subdivision, and he was our first town president. So that's the most authentic name. That's the subdivision that is, and then Robinson Hill was added to that. But McLean was the first one there, and then you also have Derby Lane is going to be an easier name to remember. So Derby Lane, I think, is a better name for it.
Usually when it's one road, we go by that one road because that's the obvious. It sometimes if it's multiple roads, we use the subdivision name.
Mm-hmm.
If it's one subdivision, sometimes there's two or three subdivisions.
You have three subdivisions. You have Catherine, you have McLean, and then you have Robinson. So you have three subdivisions.
And you are including Miramar.
Well, we'll get to Miramar next.
Let's stick
with this one.
So
Robinson Hill, is that what you guys like, or do you want something different? Do you want a hybrid of what Jim said with the other name, and then Robinson?
We have McLean, Robinson, or Derby are the three best that I could think of that kind of makes sense. And Catherine?
I wouldn't have Derby Lane.
Derby? But the only reason I like Derby is because it connects Webster Avenue and Riverside Drive, and that from a TIF district is good for business to connect those two. A lot of people don't know that you can make 31 connect in the city. But those are the only three that made sense after looking at it from 10 different ways.
And this is this is somewhat subjective. You know, like I said, we try to go by the street name, then we try to use subdivision name, and if we can't win with either of those, then we come up with something else. So.
Well, all of them will be mentioned. It's just which one is going to be the highlighted one. Yeah.
The streets, you mean?
Or the district?
Well, they'll all be highlighted. They'll all be written about.
There'll be a name given to the district.
There'll be a name given to each.
There'll be a name given, but you will reference this name and connect it with these other names.
Yes, yes.
It's good because you feel the hill coming on down, and it does have historic, it is authentic.
And then the other streets won't get done.
Right, yeah.
Well, and that's what I was worried about too. If we pick one of the streets, and if, you know, if I would pick a street, I would probably pick Alway Terrace because it's the one with the most properties on it, you know, as far as looking at the list. But like you said, then the other streets get jealous or feel like there's some second-grade citizens.
But I think that together with Diaper Ellen, I think that's going to add so much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's very cute, and we will definitely make sure to mention that.
Okay, number one,
Robinson Hill. Okay, this is okay. All right, we're going to move on to number two.
Robinson Hill does show up in the history books when people talk about it, so it is
okay.
A general when they're saying where they are.
So historically,
now Robinson Hill was canceled. Where did it start?
A gentleman, Robinson, I think he was one of the first newspaper publishers. Was Robinson, and that's where he lived. So when they talk
it was
about
a newspaper
guy, when this started, I think the second newspaper
in
town.
In Green Bay.
I think he said.
District number two.
Yes. All right, number two, I think is one of those really obvious ones. It's Miramar Drive. We'll just call it the Miramar Drive Residential Historic District.
Okay. Also, that's Dan Whitney's land.
Okay.
So that was historically, he was Ducharme sold it to Whitney.
Okay.
So, you know, and then Dan
and then Whitney went on to develop it?
And yes, he had the first big store. He developed the whole retail complex there in the 1820s.
But as far as getting these houses that exist today,
no.
He was not the one that subdivided the land. Okay.
Kind
of
off West Michigan Road.
And then also, Miramar is actually a Spanish name. So it's a Mexican name meaning view of the water. So we went down and we fought the Mexican War in 1848, and the archives were there. So, and
Why is Mission Road not included in that?
The state did not like that one either.
Same reason that sunlight.
I think we may want to revisit out of anything out there. Sunlight. I understand the sunlight.
I agree
part
with
thing,
you 100% on that.
But Mission Road is that's the heart of the heart. That's where our mission was. That's in all of the history books. The Mission Road
can
is
we
the
go
most.
Back to them with some history.
There's huge history on that particular road.
Markers.
Is there just one
person?
There's
no
mission markers.
Yes.
Is he close to retirement?
No. And he's the number two person at the state.
Is it possible to go back and state our case?
We had a fairly high hit rate on certain portions of Miramar. It did get to be spotty on West Mission. There were certain areas where it got spotty. When you get areas where there's two or three or four homes in a row where we didn't survey them, that starts breaking up the district. There were parts of the district where if you get two or three on one side of the street that you're not surveying, and then all of a sudden there's two or three on the exact opposite side of the street, that's when it starts to fall apart. So when we look at, just to kind of maybe show you guys a little bit, and I know this is hard to see, but West Mission is right on the bottom of the page here. And these ones that have numbers in them, those are ones that we surveyed. So you can see around Webster Avenue and even down to Woodrow Way, we had a pretty high hit rate through there. And but it fell apart as we got over to the Charming. It fell apart. There were big gaps here where we didn't survey anything for like four houses in a row, and then we combining that with two houses in a row on the other side of the street, completely the district falls apart.
For a certain number of houses that they like to do.
I don't want to say that there's a minimum number of houses. I'm trying to think. The smallest district that I've done is maybe 6 buildings. But kind of how Jim had mentioned, though, they like to see 80% or more of the homes need to be contributing in the district. So it, there has to be this cohesiveness.
Are you familiar with Voyager magazine?
No.
Well, mine will live on Mission Road.
And if it, again,
it's a historical publication.
The district, we don't have a district here, but we have a lot of individual properties that if we can look at them individually, we can also look to see if they're associated with a historic person, and then that will put them on the individually eligible
list.
Is that
why you asked me to submit single homes?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because that can change them from just being survey worthy to being individually eligible.
Like the Summer Larson home, which is on Riverside Drive. They own the Larson Canning Company.
Okay.
And they're in the Miramar area.
Somebody has a phone call.
It's reminding me to shut mine off.
Okay. So Miramar Drive, we're going to go with that name. For District 2.
But her house is not. It's in the Miramar. Right out of the area, but it's a very, very old rental.
Well, that's actually in the subdivision itself. So the Miramar subdivision does include those houses. And that's a big mistake.
No, it's the second house off of Alloway and the Lander.
We've got about Pose
House. It's a very old home.
Which
house? It's on here. It's on this map.
I think it's Riverside Drive. I would say so.
Which one is it?
She's upset because she's not in it.
Well, that doesn't mean that we didn't individually.
It's Riverside Drive.
I think we do a disservice if we keep saying that they're going to be individually, because you're going to raise people's expectations, because very few people, you know, are going to raise that they're going to be individually qualified.
You're right. But there's that possibility there. Rather than dismiss them completely.
I think that.
Because that's a disservice to dismiss them completely.
Yeah. So I think that whether it's going to be, I don't think that there's going to be a lot. There could be, you know, a handful, maybe a couple dozen, 10%, okay, whatever it is.
I mean, when we go into a community, the ones that are individually eligible, 10% of all the ones surveyed.
Okay. So they don't have to go into a district to be eligible?
No, they don't, but they have to.
It's a little tougher.
It's tougher, yeah. That bar is raised a little bit higher for them. If you know which house it is, if it's one of these two that's just south of Miramar, we did survey both of them.
Just south of them.
If it's one of those two, we did survey both of them.
Those are the ones we were talking about at the meeting the other night. Poe's house, they did the that's a real good one.
They're just outside of the district, but we did survey them.
Those. So.
Because they're a whole spot, they stopped.
Do you know the address?
It's on
and your, face the other
it's
direction.
Right next to the Crest Vacant Lot, Big Crest Vacant Lot, to south
two of the reasons
of Miramar. So, you know, just by looking at the Miramar subdivision, the two that are right on Riverside Drive.
And they're beautiful. I remember them distinctively.
Yeah.
They're both
you know,
very
but
nice.
They're physically, legally, they're in the Miramar
individual
subdivision.
Individual?
Yeah.
Is there any Riverside?
They're not. The only thing on Riverside that we've got is the it's a mausoleum.
But
I do remember that these two are very nice, that if they were associated with somebody important, we could get them on that.
So if those Riverside houses, I don't know if you heard Jennifer, those Riverside houses aren't individually important people.
But still, just those particular ones, those two right there, because we just toured them, we put them on. They were so good that we put them on our historic tour.
Yeah,
they're part of Miramar subdivision, so So there's an artificial cutting out and deleting of them. Those two right there, because they're physically, they look pretty authentic to me.
Oh, they do. We surveyed them. Don't get me wrong. We surveyed them. The reason why they weren't in the district is because of the empty lot and because they actually face onto Riverside rather than onto Miramar. So that's the reason why they were cut out of the district. But they were surveyed.
What was the reason?
Because of the empty lot that's here and because they face onto Riverside rather than facing onto Miramar. These guys are more cohesive. They face each other. They're looking at one another from across the street. These two are different. They face out onto Riverside. There's this empty lot here. There was reason to cut the district how it was cut. And we don't make this up either. The state makes these boundaries. Mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't so something that we make up as we go along here either.
So if you live in a nice, old, well-kept house, and it doesn't qualify, you're just out.
Not necessarily. If there's an important person associated with these, we can bring them back in again.
I'll send you the address.
Well, if it's one of these two, I remember they were nice. We did survey them. They're just not in the district.
Okay, so going on 10-6,
and we haven't gotten anywhere yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go to district 3.
I just thought we could confirm these names so I know that I've got the right names.
Sure.
Okay, the next one. I've just heard loosely around it being called Vince Lombardi District, and that is not the purpose of this district. This district was a collection of homes that were built in the late 50s and the early 60s, and I believe Town and Country Golf Course was here. And when the golf course moved out, then this land was open to get developed.
No, it was Fox River.
Fox River Golf Course.
Golf Course, and then Town and Country is the next. Okay. Is the next one down.
So this was Fox River, and then when that went out, that allowed this land to get developed
So are we looking into the homes? So it's not because of Lombardi.
It is because it is a great collection of ranch houses from the late 50s and early 60s. He just happened to be here. It wouldn't have mattered where he lived. We still would have surveyed this district.
Well,
it could have been John Smith in here, and we still would have surveyed the district. It has absolutely nothing to do with it.
Contributed an awful lot of land that these houses were built on.
And it'll get mentioned in the when we do a write-up on a district.
But for the name of the district.
Why would
we're calling this one Sunset Court because that's the name of the road and that's the most obvious and identifiable.
So this will be Sunset Court.
So I'm going to check that. It's okay for the name.
Yeah, it's Sunset Circle, actually. But I think it's better to call it Sunset Park because that's the most defining feature of that.
But the park is not, well, I don't want to say the park will not be part of it. Right now, we drew the park out. If we find more information about the development of the park with the neighborhood, we may include the park in the district. So that
there's the original plan with the from the 1920s.
With the park laid out
there.
With the
park laid out, it's exactly,
yeah.
And then, the homes were built later.
Mm-hmm.
But the original subdivision is
exactly that parkland dedicated.
Yeah.
That is one of those things that we can go back to the state and say, okay, this park was laid out with the subdivision. That was probably one of the selling points of the subdivision is, hey, you have this public access to the river because we're leaving this natural parkland there.
Also, Tracy, a 20- to 30-foot railroad on that property.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes,
So that might be one of those things where we actually go back to the state saying, no, we were cutting that park out. And one of the reasons why he cut it out was there weren't really any structures that dated to the time period that were in the park. I mean, it's basically grass for the most part, and the rail trail.
Sunset Park rather than Sunset Court.
We might go back to them and ask if we can include the park in it.
Okay, so the Historical Society is going to be taking up is the landscaping around town, documenting the parks and the landscaping. And that was one of the original suburban subdivisions, the beautiful subdivisions that were put in.
Shouldn't it say Sunset Circle?
Sunset Circle.
Yeah, we've got a court on here. It is
circle,
isn't it?
It's circle.
So it should be Sunset Circle?
Circle.
So we're going with Sunset Circle unless the state approves the park.
Yes.
Then we're going with Sunset Park.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to put a note on here to see if we can include the park. Now, Jim, do you have any anything from the time when this was platted or anything about the sales of those lots that would help us?
Yes, the lots were too small. Nobody wanted them. They all wanted to be in Sunlight Park, and so they got re-subdivided by, and then made bigger, and then they sold.
And did they indeed sell the lots
in the 50s.
With the park being in amenity kind of thing? Because if we can
the
find...
The park was always there. The park was always there. The lots were smaller, and people wanted bigger houses, so they re-subdivided the lots, but the park is always...
In Whitefish Bay, there was a park adjacent to a subdivision that was kind of like this. It was Paradise Drive or something. And we found information that that park was laid out at the same time that the subdivision was laid out, and so the state said include the park in the district.
And then that park's important because it overlooks Chief Oshawa Bay's gravesite across the river, which is actually a big deal to us. Yeah, if you're from Oshawa. Oshawa's redoing their whole park, Oshawa Bay Park, so it's a nice combination to have the two parks facing each other.
So after the district issue, the next biggest issue was
the big list.
Can we move to that next year for fear of running out of time?
Let's talk about the big list. The big list is completely overwhelming. I understand that, and I get it. And we do not intend for you guys to be able to fill out every single column here.
Oh, my gosh. And the white never so small.
Well, that too. We should have made it bigger.
I have bigger versions if you want.
I was going to say, Bobby had
to... I distributed them to the people I thought were going to work on them, but then other people started working on them, so now we all stopped until this meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think the real goal for this meeting for me was, let's see what everybody's found so far, and then let's see where the holes are, and then we can spend the next couple months filling in the gaps, basically.
Okay.
But this list, this is my dream list. If we could fill out every cell in here, that'd be great. Do I expect us to? No. These are things that the state likes us to find out, but there are some communities where the documents just don't exist anymore. We just can't find it. Historic name we can usually find one way or another, whether it's through city directories or building permits or deeds, or there's usually a way we can find that historic name.
And by historic name, you mean
the original homeowner.
So I have that, and I developed a very fast and cheap technique that works well. Brown County Library found in their basement after we had a meeting with them a whole collection of street directories going back 120 years.
And that's
by
the quickest way to do them.
And so instead of making photocopies, which are 10 cents a piece, if you just bring your digital camera,
that's what we do
and
too.
Then we do it, I did it in 5-year increments on your particular street.
Okay.
So that you go all the way back and just in 5-year increments, starting from the time that the subdivision started, so 1920s, just do 20, 25, 30, 35. Normally it takes 20 years to fill out a subdivision, and then you got just about everybody.
And usually if it's a new homeowner, and except around the depression years, they usually stay put for a while.
Right.
So a 5-year increment is usually pretty good too.
And then the thing that by doing it that way, I just put everything back onto a flash drive, but then we can share it, and then we can have the have all of our documentation verified. So it's not like we're writing it down. And then the one other thing that you want to do is take a picture of the title page of the directory, take a picture of the, so you, that'll give you the year and the author that's in there. So it's going to be Wright's Directory of 1935. Take a picture of it, then go to your Miramar Street, you take a picture of it, and then you're done, and then you can go back home and do it all later. But it's you know, just type all the names in, but you don't want to spend your whole time writing down stuff because it has no authenticity. But a picture of the directory, people believe it because they can see everybody, and then you can just share it with the people on the street who you'll run into somebody who used to live on the street and say, I remember this person, and then they'll start telling you the stories, and then we can gather the stories historically for the Historical Society. So it's good that by taking the pictures and organizing them by street and by year, then it becomes a resource for everybody to keep for additional projects.
And to add to that, for the purpose of the survey, we don't need to know every homeowner for the whole history of the house. We just need to know who that original one is. So even if the house we think was built in 1927, I'd probably like to see 25 and 30. But beyond that, probably really don't need to know, unless there was somebody really, really
I did Sunset Park, and I only had to do 1955 to 1970.
Just limit it down.
And then that was all that was there.
Can I ask you, if somebody picked a house on Green, for instance?
I know. This is being so
patient. Well, I've just been trying to say something.
I know.
Jump in.
The house on Green, Boob Garland built that house. But he did not live in it very long. The next owner lived in it the longest, but it would still go by the initial owner.
Yes, even if they only lived there for a couple of years. Okay. Wallace.
I called the village hall, and they told me, yes, they did have the building permits, and they keep the building permits. The building permits, for my house, if you come to the village hall, you'll find every record you need. And it will be nice and readable. And the village does keep them. But when they give a building permit, if they're going to put a swimming pool in, they have a building permit for the swimming pool. When you do get the building permits, when you do fortunately find the building permits, and you can find the building permits for places that were built like in the 1950s. Sometimes you can come up with that building permit and you just feel so happy. And then you see it. And it is either written in ink or pen. And it is absolutely faded out. When you find the wonderful piece that you want, you cannot read it. And sometimes you're lucky, but many times you're not. And I also checked with the Register of Deeds. Now, you can go on the internet, and you can put the property down, and you can get the parcel number, and you can check that back, and you can get a little bob of legal description, and you can down to the Register of Deeds, and they've got everything on film, too. But that tells you the present owner.
Right.
And if these things, on looking them up, on the micro tape, if that's typed, you're okay. But if it's not typed, you're going to have the same thing I've got. And I came up here, I was all set. I was spending the day. I was going to go through this in the village. I said to the, do you keep every building permit? Yes, we keep them all. But you can't go back to 1935 and find them. Now, maybe it's simple to go to the library and check it all out like this. I'm sorry.
It's not. You went on the right. You did the right thing.
I mean, I can look up my address, and I know exactly that I was the builder of that house. And I know when it was built. And I know, but that's not typical.
It's very hit and miss, and I know exactly what you're talking about the readability, especially with the old Register of Deeds. That old timey script that they would write, it's hard to photocopy, it's hard to read.
And I also did some checking on Arrowhead. There are certain houses on Arrowhead. They were built in the 50s, sometimes a little bit later, sometimes a little bit earlier. They were built uniquely. They have the first floor is cement.
this basement. It's just like a build. It's just like a bomb shelter. Mm-hmm. And they were built during the Second World War when Norgard was on defense, and people were encouraged to build bomb shelters in their basement. And these houses are just unique because they're that way, and they stand out and they're special. And I think I know who the builder is who built all those houses and who the architect was.
Okay.
But that was simply because I did the research to talk to the people who lived in those houses.
Okay.
And if you're fortunate to get one core person in there that can lead you on, the lady I talked to was 92 years old and she knew what was going on. So that's what I found.
Okay.
Other question. Yeah. Do we need the written documentation? If we speak with somebody and they're elderly and they remember that that we built it, is that enough, or do you need copies of it?
Is there a code system we can connect to for reliability?
Yeah, that's the tough part. If you interview somebody and you can, maybe we do develop a code system for it. I would like to know if it was a personal interview versus a document that you found to support it, because this does need to be, and we kind of call it an academic document. I mean, it needs to be footnoted. It needs to, we can't just say things willy-nilly without stuff to back it up. Interviews are kind of hard because memories fade over time, and if we can do an interview and then maybe go back and find something to back it up.
Do we, as long as we physically see that something, is that okay, or do you want copies of that?
I would like copies of whatever you can get copies of easily.
Okay, so I have a list of Berner Schober's architects.
You do.
Homes.
Perfect.
Religious buildings, governmental buildings, and what was the other one? There's four lists.
Education.
Oh, they keep separate lists?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, they have
I've been told
their name
to
on, it.
On the list, yeah.
But I also know that they bought archives of architects that were going out of.
That's, yeah.
So they have more than what they have credit for. Okay. And I'm meeting with Denise to find out which ones are really theirs, which ones are somebody else's.
Okay.
But is that list documentable? Or
yes.
Do
yes.
Okay.
If you got a list from them saying, here's the buildings that this firm has done, that's fine.
Okay.
Well, I forget how we did it. We did that in Sheboygan when we did the surveys there. I worked for an architecture firm there. We had old archive drawings from four, well, it was one past firm, but it was like four generations that they practiced there from 1850s to the 1980s. And we bought the plans in the 1980s when the fourth generation retired.
Mm-hmm.
And we had their project list, and I had access to all their old plans and everything. That was enough. I think we just called it, you know, the Weeks. That was the name of the firm, the Weeks list on record at LJM Architects or something. I mean, that we, there was a way that we could sort of create a bibliography note for it. And it was basically, here's the list, and here's where it's kept. As long as you can have that kind of key piece of information
so
that somebody could find it if they needed to.
If I can get those kinds of lists from other architects and builders, that's documentable.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's perfect. Because what we end up doing in these reports, there's a whole section. And I brought these along, and I don't know if you want to circulate them through, but when we get done, this is what we're going to have. I mean, we're going to have a 200 or 300 page or more report. And I just brought four of them along tonight in case anybody was just interested to see what's our end game here, what's the end of product. But there's a whole chapter on architects and builders, and that information is going to be just perfect. We give a little bit of a history on. Whitefish Bay had a lot of architects from the Milwaukee area that practiced there, so it was a fairly extensive chapter in that community, although not every, I mean, some communities we only have one or two to point to, just because there weren't that many there. But we'll do
a small write-up on the firm, whatever we can find out about their history, and then we list each building that we know they did. So if we get that list, then we can start filling this out, saying, well, they did this house here and that church there, and we basically, we will list every building that we know that they were responsible for.
Okay.
And there was this one fellow, I mean, he and Whitefish Bay, he built like almost a page list because he just did that many buildings there. But we do that with architects and we do that with builders too. But it's just on the survey, you know, here's the properties in the survey that are attributed to.
I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
So if we pick up on extra information that you don't necessarily have on your list, I spoke with the homeowner. The house was built in 69 and he's the third owner. He said a few years ago the original builder owner stopped and talked to him and gave him some information about where the brick came from. And do we want that?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Okay,
if
now
you
that isn't documented.
No, but I might make make mention of it.
Okay.
Well, say for example, the boiler came from the demolished hospital. Okay.
The brick.
So, or the brick did whatever.
The brick from the boiler room of the St. Vincent's Hospital.
Yeah. So just interesting little tidbits.
Yeah. I mean. If there's room for it, we'll find a spot to mention something like that. But I know that you're not going to find everything. I mean, when you're dealing with a community where most of the things we've surveyed were residences, it's nearly impossible to find an architect or designer or builder for them. I mean, it's almost impossible. So I am not expecting you guys to find that. Sometimes it's on a building permit, you get lucky, and you get lucky.
But if we really do, we get bonus points.
Seriously, if you do, it's bonus points.
Besides being your own.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm looking through this list, and there's some that I know right now when I'm looking at some of these addresses.
What I'll do is I'll work with Steve because Marty Metzler is Steve's cousin.
Okay.
So he's a builder.
Okay.
Their dads were builders here in town through the 60s and 70s.
Cool.
And so they, and between
you'd have your
them,
own project
and they
list.
Know everybody.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's someone here that my dad built back
perfect.
In the 50s.
Perfect.
Oh,
right.
That's wonderful.
Perfect.
So if we start with the builders and start documenting what Ray and Marty did,
right.
And we go that route, and then we'll add, that's the better way to do it.
I agree. Picking. Sometimes if there's these long-standing companies, being one of
right.
them, if you can get to them and explain why you're asking, because sometimes they're a little nervous about why you're asking, but if they know why you're asking and they're willing to share, that is the absolute best way, because then you know. I mean, you know that company
right.
built that house or that company designed that house.
Right.
So that's
Steve.
Perfect.
Steve.
That's wonderful.
Steve, Marty. Yeah. The house you're living in supposedly was built by one of the people.
No, that's Marty's.
No, that's Marty's house. That's Marty's
cousin.
Their dads were brothers.
There's so many
right.
houses.
Yes.
The
gingerbread. That's
okay.
My cousin.
Oh, that's your cousin. Okay. But Loyal Beeble was a builder. Because he built.
So
yeah.
we'll gather the Beeble construction. So that's, but that'll be something for the Historical Society. That's the type of stuff that we're much better at. Is gathering the notable people and the builders and that type of stuff who have stories versus the documentation kind of stuff.
Well, and like I said, they're the architects and the builders, they get a nice paragraph about that history of that company, so don't feel like that's not information that I
right.
want, because I do want that. Especially as it relates to, hey, they built 5 of the houses that we surveyed. I want to know about that. And I want to know which 5, and
right.
and we say, you know, here it is.
My brother's been doing a list from trying to dig back through all the permits and everything, trying to get all the houses that my dad had built. So he's got that list, and I know a lot of these are just going to match right off. So.
Okay.
Jennifer, I'm going to send you the name.
Did he build a decent house?
An address of a man that lived on Delahoe.
Okay.
That's built the first shop for us in New Bay, and built 154 around the country. So his house might not be anything, but the guy inside of it.
Okay, that's interesting to know too.
Sure.
So and the point is as we find things, because we have this survey, which is going to be done in 6 months or
yeah.
whatever, but we have the Historical Society that is very interested in the whole community. So as you start finding these stories that are interesting, even though they may not fit into the survey, once we have the neighborhood, like the neighborhood builders, you have somebody who built three houses, you know, for their daughters and that kind of stuff. We have that all over town. Mm-hmm. People who built three houses or six houses. Those are the stories that we want, and then the stories of the neighborhood. So as you find them, we want to keep pursuing those stories to document the whole history of the town, even though this is strictly on the buildings themselves.
Right. And as you find them, let's say 9 months from now, and I think Joe mentioned this when he met with you guys, let's say you find something 9 months from now and the report is done, but it pertains to one of the buildings we surveyed, you can get that information to Joe DeRose and he'll put it on the online database. He'll get it in there. So don't think of these as static documents. They should be living documents that continue to get updated, and the best place to update them is on the state's website, because that's going to be your most up-to-date information. You know, these are done and they're printed, but you're going to be finding stuff for years to come, and just that stuff needs to go to Joe DeRose after.
And then, frankly, that database, the state database, which is our survey database, is much more important to us than the National Register, because only a handful are going to get to the National Register individually, but keeping track of the ones to the state, that's where people can find it. And if somebody wanted to do their house history, there's a chance that they'll just go to the state. That's where we're going to store our surveyed homes.
Yeah.
So that's why the 700...
That's your storage bin.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, too, part of the work that we've already completed, we have made an entry for each one of these on the state's database already. And we will fill in as you guys feed us more information. We'll go back and fill in, but there is an entry online right now for each of these properties on this list. It just has the address and the construction date for the most part right now, and the style and the resource type. I mean, basically, it just has what was on the list. But as we find out the historic name and architect or builder, mm-hmm. we will put that data in.
How did you get that date?
When we started our Historical Society, the old assessor used a spreadsheet, and so he had gone through over the years. The assessor had always maintained it, so it's a fairly good approximation based
yeah.
upon the assessor's records for the last 100 years. So they always updated it, and when they went to a spreadsheet, and then I just took the spreadsheet when we started our Historical Society with the old assessor. I took that, and then
so if we find something that documents it at a
different
year,
right.
let's craft it.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cause did you run into those on the Berner Schober list? They've got the house plans like 5 years later than what we've got
oh.
it being built
right.
as.
Because I was going to warn you, on the architect's list, they're going to have a date as the date where they started the design.
Right.
So sometimes there's a year or two later that the house was actually built, but if you're seeing that the date
the actual plans were later,
yeah, that the actual plans are later,
yeah.
then that's a pretty good indication that the date needs to get adjusted.
Yeah.
And assessor,
there's a couple of those
yeah.
on the Brenner's list.
Assessor information notoriously is pretty close, but not necessarily
accurate.
Exactly accurate, but it's usually pretty close. I mean, like, I would say 5 years, give or take. You know,
what we may want to do is have a separate column next to it, so you
yeah.
know, if we have a discrepancy, we'll just need to verify it somewhere.
Yeah. You can flag and say, hey, we found this on the Berner Schober list.
But we'll just insert another list here, you know,
mm-hmm.
and on the Berner Schober list
mm-hmm.
and on all the builder lists. So that's what we'll have. We'll have the builder date, we'll have the assessor date, and then we'll have, you know, the builder date, and hopefully they'll match up, but they won't be perfect, and it'll be
yeah.
interesting to see what the discrepancy is.
Yeah, and if you honestly, between an assessor date and what you find on those lists, I'll take the date on those lists before the assessor date.
Right.
Okay. I do priority on those dates first. Or if you find a newspaper article, too, that says, hey, this building, you know, we had groundbreaking in 1937, but the assessor has it for 1940 or 1935 or something like that, I'll take the newspaper article before I'll take the assessor date. So assessor date is close, but we kind of have an understanding as historic preservation consultants that it's not gospel.
Okay.
So, that's a very good thing to point out.
We have this list distributed among numerous individuals. The most efficient way is to what? Does somebody want to focus on architects? Somebody want to focus on historic names? How do we want to divvy this up so we're not duplicating efforts?
Well, you got two different lists that are going to be generated. One is going to be the easiest one is the nameless, because that's right off of the street directory.
Yes.
Just go right on down.
The historic name is the easiest column of building. Right.
And that, anybody can verify that, and that's usually what people want to know. And then the builder list, if we can start collecting, and I'll talk, I think it's easiest to talk with you and with Marty, because Marty started talking to some of the other builders like Detry and some of the other guys in town. And by the time you talk to the top 10 guys, you got about 70% of the 70% of the town done.
I agree.
So who's going to, I guess, to get
I just
want to ask who wants to do what?
Who's
to
doing
do
what?
Right.
So we're not
duplicating.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like Bobby's got a good handle on the architects.
I don't mind doing architects, and I'll call them up.
I'll talk to, I want to do Somerville, because I'd like to do, I'll call up Somerville.
Okay.
Because he's one of our
Jim,
clients.
You're doing Somerville.
Yeah, I was going to say, otherwise I'm meeting with a guy from Somerville.
Oh, are you?
Half an
hour. Oh, well,
if
you can do
too.
So.
And
oh,
he would not
good.
Look at me suspiciously
right.
when I ask him.
So go ahead, yeah. So.
I can do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jennifer's doing Somerville. And if you don't get it from him, we can follow up.
Right.
You'll let us know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then Jim and Steve are working
on builders.
Builders. All builders or Metzler builders?
Well, all builders.
All
we'll
builders.
We'll get together.
Because I know a lot of the other builders too, so we'll
Great.
Get it out.
That's awesome.
Let's do
Especially the ones that have a really long history
right.
in the community.
That's
Those
what we're looking at.
Yeah.
you know everybody in town,
right?
Yeah. Not that many.
Yeah, right. You're right. There won't be that many.
Right.
Does anybody else have contact with architects that they would?
I did check with architects who came in and they did not get anything.
Okay,
and the other thing is that we're going to have what's called merchant builders, the big builders. And so, what's it called, Harry? He's one of our clients too. So, yes. So he's actually a very good one. So I'll follow up with Mr. Mako. He built an awful lot of homes here. He's had a big impact on
businesses and homes. Yeah.
So he's one of our only merchant builders.
Would builders also have who designed it or not?
For example, Hillcrest Homes, they would have designed everything in-house.
Okay.
And so,
sometimes the builders had a designer on staff. Not all the time, but sometimes they did.
Okay.
And if we get a little blurb or a little history on them, we'll be able to find that out, I think, if they had a designer on staff. Because then we could attribute them as the designer and the builder.
So
and then the other thing that you'll notice, for example, a lot of the builders, like the larger builders, will have a cabinet factory, or they'll have what their specialty is.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have who the builders were, and then whether they were finished carpenters or their primary line was foundation guys. And so those are, they usually had a main line that they ran in addition to being the builder.
The ones that we usually pay most attention to are the general contractor type builders,
but
the ones that are kind of overseen.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that they're the general,
but
the general will normally be,
right.
we have one of the main components.
Yeah, they'll usually have, there were several of them, they'll have concrete guys, masons, and carpenters all working for them. The bigger ones anyway, though.
So when you guys do the builders, you'll not only look at this list and try to fill in builders here, but you'll kind of look at history as well.
Yes, what we'd like to do, what I'll do with him, the easiest way for us to do it is to take the list of 5,000, because that's what we're going to have. And so we just do the list of 5,000, and then we'll filter out the 700.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the list of 5,000, that'll, because there's 5,000 homes in town.
Yeah.
So That's easier for us to do it rather than we have everybody's inventory.
So we'll make one master list to hand to you, right?
If you want to do that, or if Berner Schroeder like literally gives you a list and they're sorted by address?
No,
I'll
they
take
have
that.
A name, and we have to finish. I sent you the email.
Okay.
I took all the lists and put them into the email.
Mm-hmm.
I just combined them. But they had names and general locations.
Rita's done a lot of work that I forwarded back to you.
Okay.
Right.
But she's already looked at
it. If you have time to clean it up, great. If you don't, you just want to give us the
There's
raw data,
that's
good
too. There's only 20
okay.
names.
Okay, it's not that bad. I know one of the firms in Sheboygan, when we were doing Sheboygan, prolific, they were around from the 20s through the 80s. They had just huge project list, and it was just names, no addresses. Sometimes they would mention a street, so we were going through all the directories trying to find out where these people lived to try to identify the address of the home he designed.
It
can be difficult. Sometimes all that information just isn't spelled out for you, so you have to turn to these other resources to try to put the puzzle pieces together.
It's faster to have somebody tell you what they were.
Yes, very much.
Okay, so then the ones of us that have the divvied up list, are you guys still comfortable doing a sort name? Or do you want to...
Or did Jim get all of the
directions?
Well, I did just the streets.
But they're doing it in a systematic way where they're working with the builders to get the building. It's a much better way than the simple little way that I started. So they will be doing that. So there's not any sense of me doing it.
Okay.
I found some, but I have to dig for them. Mm-hmm. But you have a shortcut, and that's wonderful. But, you know...
And then what we're going to end up with is a short list of homes that we didn't have any information on, and then we go and we look at...
So then I think that we should wait until we get feedback from you if you want us to do any particular checking.
Well, does everybody have a computer at home that they can use and a digital camera? Because we can go at the second floor of the reference desk. Okay, they're always open at Brown County Library. They're always open. So if
she will bite your head off.
Yes, she will. So what we'll do is, not in the genealogy room, but in the reference desk, they have a second set of street directories. And so if you just did one street on a night, and it really was easy, you just take your picture, hold it on up, and then you just take your picture of that street name, then you have them all. And then you pick one out from another 5 years later. So let's say that you had a street that you wanted to do on your list. That's right there, and it was actually quite fun because I did Sunset Circle, and there's Lombardi, and I got his phone number, and I know all
wow.
his neighbors. You know,
nowadays that would never happen.
You know, but in the old days, that you know everybody, and we still get the street directories, but they have everybody's. It's very authentic when you just take the picture. All you need to do is take a picture of the cover page on the book and on the street that you're doing. Then you get to go.
Jim, when you did that, did you go in? I know after our last meeting, I've given, I think, both of you the Excel worksheet sorted by date.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go in and do it by date? Because that would be the other thing that I would add to this would be...
I have
you,
it both
could,
ways. We had it by date, and then we decided... No,
the date
we
is really
by
good.
Street,
go
so then I restarted it.
The date can be really nice when you're doing the directories because you can kind of see the houses that were built, let's say, between 1920 and 1925.
Mm-hmm.
And then from a subdivision standpoint, all of a sudden, let's say there's two dozen houses there. Well, a dozen of them, maybe they're all on one street. And then you can go into that 1920 and 25 directory and just take that picture of that one page. But when we do the research, we usually sort them by date. And then we'll pull the directory for that date,
mm-hmm.
and we'll look at every address for that date, and then we'll pull the next directory, and we'll look at every address that's in that one. And we go by year.
Because I think that if you get the name of the... there are so many houses on
on Arrowhead that were all built by Somerville, who is the architect.
Okay.
And if you get that listing from Somerville, you'll have it all simply. Because they built a slew of those houses in there. Lumber sheds.
He built a lot of houses in Somerville. S-D-H-A-E-T-Z.
On Arrowhead. That was what Joe told me, Joe Kraft.
So that's the type of thing that we'll do with the builder, and then if we can group them all and on the spreadsheets, it's so easy to sort them.
That's built on here. It's always funny. Create out your own quote.
Yeah, they should look at that house.
Because I think there was an incorrect date on it.
What? I told him to look at that light branch.
What was the address on that one? What was the address on that one?
I only live there. I don't know.
Well, we could find it on the map.
Rita was telling me that she was on the corner of where you there, but then when I told her the date that it was constructed, she thought that it was constructed much earlier.
She grew up in it.
But remember I told you it said that it was built in 1952? And then you said it had to have been older than that?
Oh, that's when you were born.
Yeah.
Remember it's on the corner of
Rita was from
Green Avenue and Oakwood.
Which house?
I think it might be 227.
Is it Henry L.?
Is that right? 227?
Far East Bay?
Yeah, but what, I mean, are you talking, let's say if you're going down Oakwood to Green Avenue?
Green Avenue.
On the right or the left?
Here's Green.
On this side. I mean,
west side.
North, east side. Northwest side.
Okay.
Northwest side, at the intersection, northwest side?
Mm-hmm. It faced Green Avenue.
That's the question. I've got the EHI number, which is the number on the Wisconsin Historical Society website. Everything on the maps gets pinned to that. So if you have a question, you just go onto their website, you type in the 7-digit number, and it pops it all up right
I forget that. She doesn't remember how to spell it.
Is the address on Green or is it on Oakwood? Because I see the driveway's on Oakwood.
The driveway's on Oakwood, yes.
The address
is on Green Avenue.
Yeah, I think I know the house.
Yeah, and it was the last name, my parents' name was Bershinger. B-U-E-R-S-C-H-I-N-G-E-R.
It must have been fun to spell when you were in first grade.
She doesn't know the address. How would she know what year it was?
I have to go home and look it up.
Was she a good little girl?
She slept all the time.
How old are you?
21. Okay, so does everybody have a handle on what they're going to do, at least for this document, builders, architects? Everybody's comfortable with that? Everybody understands what we're doing? I mean, Jim, when you're saying go take pictures and stuff and do all that now, is that something you want them to do now? And if so, how are you dividing that up? Or are you guys starting with it? And then if you need help or there's places that you don't find?
I'm not going to get in the center of it until I know what they've done.
Okay.
Because
is that okay? Is that what we think is the best
one? Information and
if anybody wants to do it, I usually, I ask them how usually they do things, to go on a Monday or a Tuesday evening. That's usually best for me to go on over to the library and spend an hour or two. And then the one other thing that you have to do is when you take your pictures, you just rename them with the street name on it and the year. So those are that's the only trick that you have to do. So you take your pictures, and then when you when they come up on the computer, you're going to put the year 1955, and then you're going to put Arrowhead, okay, and then the directory, and then then you can sort them all.
What do you want first, the year or the street?
I think the year
street?
Is easiest if you do the year first and then the street.
But if you're sorting, wouldn't you want all the streets together?
You can sort it by year and then.
Because that's what. I'm just thinking the way that my computer likes to grab things, and then it's going to put all the ones from the 1955s together. And so if somebody's interested, I'm just thinking for additional projects, in addition to this one, additional projects, somebody wants to see the street directory for Alloy from 1955, I say, well, just go back to this thing and then type in, look at that grouping for 1955, and all those streets will come up in that time frame. Either way, you can do it either by street name first or by year. If you want to do street name first, that's fine.
Should we be consistent?
We should be consistent. Yeah.
I mean, which way is better?
If you're starting, if you already have some.
No, I just have Sunset Circle, so, you know, that's fine. I just named, when I transferred out on Albright, I put it into, it all start off with Sunset Circle, and then chronologically, it just came up in the dates that I took. Either way,
I would think the street name.
Do the street name first.
That's the one that I would choose.
Okay, so do street name first. The street name first.
First, and then the year.
And then that way, on all the files that you're going to be saving, if you're going to, just from a naming convention, for all the files that we're going to be doing, so if you're going to be interviewing, talking to somebody about a house on Arrowhead, always start with the street name first. So the way that I would normally do it, the way that I normally do that is I put street name first, and then the street number following that,
right,
and then the personal name, and then the computer will be able to track it, but automatically it will street name first followed by the digits.
You need an address attached.
Right, but that's. The computer likes to sort it that way. Yeah. Then I don't have 123 Main Street and 123 Oakwood Street all together. I'm going to have all the Main Street, and then they'll sort out. But the naming conventions are very important.
And I want to chime in too on the stuff that Lois was finding in the building permits. That's still some good information. If some of it's hard to read, if it's just illegible,
it'll even tell you the dates of what I found. And I was pretty good at getting the stuff from the 70s and the 60s and things like that. But then going back much further, when I found it and then I couldn't read it.
And that's completely understandable. So we'll kind of have this understanding that anything prior to the 50s is just going to be.
And she said, maybe I can read it. And I said, I'll show it to you. So I gave it to her, and she said, no.
We have a way to fix this going forward.
So let me stop because I also did Sunset Circle on the permits. Okay. And I did the same thing. So I just took the pictures of the entire file, went to the entire file, and
we did the exact same thing.
And that's much better. And then I can worry about it later.
Everything gets put into there by address, so whatever permit it is, whatever kind of permit, whether it's addition or whatever, is put into that address file. So really anything, I think they must have started this in Barb, you maybe know better, but
I think
it seemed like in the 60s.
Was here, things got really kept up to par.
Yeah.
Before that, and, I think things were just different. It was just hard going back that many hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have good village boards.
We had a giant scanning project where we took all, I think we had 8 files from the whole permit and scanned them all. That's a good idea.
I'm running really short on time, and I want to go through this quickly. I know in some of these chapters, I think people had either mentioned somebody who had already done a lot of research or had kind of volunteered to maybe oversee a chapter. I don't want to jump around here, but for the education theme, you guys had mentioned Jane Temp.
Right.
Had already done a lot of research. Was anybody able to get their hands on that?
Well,
she's with us, and so we'll work. She's with the Historical Society, and so we'll get it from Jane.
Okay. She did all the churches.
And the churches, I have her down for all the churches, too.
For everything from St. Matthew.
Okay.
Good. So
she got all those records.
Jane's in charge of, for our Historical Society, the churches, and the
So for the next meeting, she'll be, or maybe even before, if you guys have stuff where you feel like you've got the whole architect list and you want to share it with me, just send it to me rather than waiting for our next meeting.
Jane has a book of St. Matthew's that documents everything beautifully.
Okay, perfect.
So yeah, if you guys get anything ahead of time.
Yeah, I mean, if Jane has the whole, education thing kind of wrapped up and it's in a neat, tidy thing that you could share with us, just send it to me. And that, I mean, we could start writing the education chapter right then and there. Same thing with the religion one, too. If there's, if she has files or a book or something that's,
So just so we know that the education, Jane's doing the current places, and so I have the very early going to 1820s, so at Heritage Hill there was a school, and then at Robinson Hill there was a second school. So those schools that are no longer there, I'll just let you know where they were.
And we can make a mention
school,
in it.
But they'll, there's no more structures there. But
right.
We'll
I usually
just
do a little sentence saying, early in Alloway's history, there were numerous schools that were known to have existed. We know schools existed here, and here. However, they are no longer extant. And then I'll go into talking about the existing ones.
Right.
So there are things where if you know, don't automatically assume that I'm just not going to mention it at all. It's much more helpful to at least have a sentence or two in there that says we know that there was a school that was here at this point in time. And then if somebody wants to know more about that history of that school, they can go seek that out, on their own.
Right.
But at least they know one existed. So I'm usually a little more flexible with that than some other consultants are. Some consultants, they just strictly stick to, this is what exists, that's all I'm talking about. I'm usually, if the information is readily available, I will usually at least make a mention of it in the report.
We'll just put noted in the document.
We know a building existed here at one point in time. I mean, that's much more informative than just saying, oh, these are the only four schools that exist, period. Because you know darn well that there were dozens of other ones that aren't here anymore. But if the information is readily available, we'll mention it. If it's not available and it would take you guys tons of time to research it, don't waste your time doing it.
Already done.
Yeah. If it's already done, I'll take it.
I had Carol and Linda written down for the arts and literature. Now, Carol's resigned. Do you know if anything's happened on that?
No.
Linda Ferguson?
Mm-hmm. They left the last meeting with this chapter.
And really, the only thing that we had in there as far as art was the monument. Now, if there were other things that we should find, otherwise we could just keep that monument as part of the landscape. There's a cemetery section in the landscape architecture. That's where we talk about the cemeteries. We could just keep it in the cemetery section and just get rid of that chapter.
Let's leave that.
That'll
be one of the last ones we do.
Okay.
But actually, Alloway has a very good creative class that is here. That this is kind of what we're known for.
Okay.
So we have some artists and writers, and so there's a lot of very good people in town.
Okay.
But that's not well documented. So we'll have to find somebody to do that for us.
Okay.
So
I'm going to leave that art and literature. I'm going to kind of leave it as a question mark. Mm-hmm. That, if there's just one thing, we probably won't create a whole chapter just for that one thing. That we may just merge this with the planning and landscape architecture chapter.
The transportation I had you down. Is that not right?
Yeah, the transportation. So that would be the roads, the railroad, and the trolley.
The railroad, Fox River navigation, Great Lakes navigation, Plank Trail, Old Plank Roads, Trolley on Webster, water transportation on
just a short blurb on all of them, not the history of the railroad.
Not necessarily history of the railroad, but that railroad bridge we have on our individually eligible list. So we would take more detailed information on that for sure.
Now, this isn't writing. This is just pulling.
Yeah, don't
the
write.
Research.
Don't write it. That's our job.
Right.
Just
what?
Pull photocopies of newspaper
articles.
Pull
it and put it into a research file and get you the research file.
Yeah.
Okay. Government theme? I don't have anyone written in there. Was somebody working on that one? The government theme, the Alloway Town Hall, the Alloway Waterworks, the Water Authority.
Yeah, who did that for? Did Sherry do that for us?
Sherry?
Who did it for the historical? We transcribed all of our minutes. We did an inventory of all the municipal minutes. It was kind of a big project for the historical society. And so Jim Chardesky was on that committee. Jim wouldn't be able to tell us. Somebody in our group did it. So Jim was the lead on it. Jim was the municipality stuff. And the most important stuff on the municipality is the bringing the water and the sewer.
The waterworks, the town hall. Well, the town hall is in Heritage Hill, and we have a lot of information on Heritage Hill already. We've been working directly with them on all the buildings there.
Water buildings.
The waterworks and the water utility.
We don't have to do anything on Heritage Hill then?
Don't skip Heritage Hill. We're working with them directly.
Did they check the water building out on Green?
Yes, it's on an individually eligible list.
I bet it would be.
Yep, we got the waterworks building there.
We toured it.
Boy, I can tell you that one should be.
Cemeteries too, right?
Under landscaping, cemeteries. So, the transportation of the cemetery.
So then you mentioned the chapel. I had you bring a binder that the Historical Society had put together about the little chapel at the cemetery. I don't know if you need to look at that information or if that.
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we talk about the cemeteries. We'll talk about the chapels and the larger mausoleums there.
So bring that at the next meeting, or is that information?
Or if you have it all together already, send it to us.
No, let's put that all together as one package.
Okay.
I don't like
okay.
the piecemeal stuff.
Okay.
I like having a research package that we can scan and then send it to you so that everybody has the same
information. Yeah, if you email it, send it, whatever makes sense.
Now, what's the just scan.
We can take piecemeal. What we do in our office is we actually have a manila folder like this for each chapter.
Right.
So we take all the information that was used to write that chapter and it goes in each manila folder. So if it does come piecemeal, it's okay because we just file it in the right chapter folder.
By little chapter.
Okay.
I didn't have anyone written next to commerce theme either. Is anyone interested in that?
And that can sometimes be one of the hardest chapters to do.
We'll need to find somebody at the Historical Society because we have the commerce, we have, for example, Trader's Flowers. Okay, so we have people in our society who are business people right now with some of the older businesses. To document the businesses on Webster Avenue. Commerce, all of the major businesses that have been around. Now the question that we run into on Commerce is do we include, for example, the Crest family? The people who, and the Schneider family, and people at the Origios, and the people who have plants outside of, they built these big plants in other locations in Brown County.
I think we were concentrating on architects that are here.
So,
right?
The commerce is about the buildings that are.
I would just focus on these.
On these six.
Schneiders, though, they will be important people, so they're going to be in the notable people chapter.
Right, but they're not under the commerce.
Not
they're under
commerce.
The notable people.
Right.
Because if they don't have a structure
commerce
in
structure associated with them, okay. Notable people then.
Okay. And Rita was doing recreation. You already gave that to us. The recreation and entertainment. That
actually, is that in the envelope there?
This is sports.
That's
part of the recreation.
I thought you said you sent that off to her already.
We have a couple things, but
what did you tell me you sent that to her?
Well, I don't know about entertainment. I don't know a thing about entertainment.
The golf course. The sport.
Well,
there wasn't much for entertainment. It was mostly like the YMCA, the tennis club, and the two golf courses.
The golf club. Oh, I know all about the golf courses. But the tennis club.
Okay, so you have sports staff, not the golf course.
Are you talking about sports?
What's in this packet? The sports.
Yeah, strictly pro and amateur sports people.
Sports people.
Football and golf. And you?
Yeah, I reluctantly did it.
Okay. Well, then we probably have a lot of the recreation stuff in here.
Okay.
Actually.
Do you want to go through that and see if we're missing stuff?
Yeah, the two golf courses, two or three golf courses are two of them are in here.
The Kegler's with the bowling
alley. We have the newsletter of the old Fox River Country Club.
Is in here?
No, you have it. You printed it from my book.
Yes.
Now I could probably get the history of Kegler's bowling alley if you want that.
That'd be great, Lon.
I can do that.
Awesome.
I can't get it. Gabby has dementia. No. The people who ran Kegler's golf club.
Yeah, Anders.
Huh?
Gabby Anders.
Well, I've seen him at Resurrection. He doesn't seem to have all kinds of
community. Okay, but he's not.
But his wife is a very smart lady.
That's
what
a good
day. She's
good. Okay. Well, let Lois take it.
Let Lois take it.
Okay, let me talk to let me talk to the
Martins. Okay.
I mean, if he has Alzheimer's, he's in the beginning stages, and his wife is a very sharp lady. I think.
Well, you got to get to your meeting.
I do. My phone has been buzzing at me.
Are we going to meet in February?
February 27th would be our regular schedule. Now Jennifer's going to be out of town, so she needs to have a meeting.
We could still have a working.
Yeah, I think you guys.
I think we should too.
Touch base.
Yep. And then
And then it's together.
So after the 27th, if you guys have anything, we should get it organized and we'll get it out to Jennifer. Now her dead date for getting any information from you from us is March 27th. Anything beyond that is going to be too late for her to get it into the report. So if we can meet at our regular schedule time on the 27th, have it be another working meeting, see where everybody's at, and then we'll plan on the 27th again. And I don't know if you can come to that one or if you want to.
I think I will come then, because then we'll identify the holes, what's missing, because then we pick up the holes. We'll fill in the holes where we can. I mean, some of them we just might not even be able to fill.
Bring an assessment of what you have in case everybody starts sending you stuff and not all of us know what went.
I would rather have it all go through you and then you.
That'd be great.
I would rather have everything go through Bob.
That's good. And if you can start sending your stuff after February 27th.
Yeah.
And you can collect them as and then. I feel much better just sending them to you.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. When I don't find out anything, I can go to club. I'll let you know.
Well, and I really say March 27th as a drop dead because we're going to have to start writing like April 1st.
Yeah.
We just have to start writing.
It makes sense.
I mean, if there's one little thing that, I know where to find this, and, I'll take it.
That was
as far as
the bulk of it, it has to be in.
And then one of the other things that I'd like to do is to reach out to the community, for example, on the landscape, documenting the landscape in the cemeteries. I'd like to talk with the Alloway beautification people and then find somebody there to start working with us. Because I think that it's more important that the report come from the whole community instead of just a handful of people.
I know a couple people on that committee if you want an introduction.
Was any of that coming tonight, or is that all your stuff?
Oh, this is all my stuff. I'll scan it and get it to you.
Okay.
But, it was very funny that the lots weren't big enough, so oftentimes they had to redo it. The park stayed the same, but they just made everybody's land a little bit bigger.
Less lots, so they could sell for more money. It all came out in the end, I'm sure.
Thank you. Thanks, Jennifer.
Yeah.
You know there was that school that was torn down where Osco Drilled used to be?
Elway
School?
I've got all kinds of pictures.
Yeah, I was thinking, I know someone that took pictures of it when the building was being torn down, but Rita says she has pictures.
Well, we can start collecting all those because there's certain stories that everybody, you know, that are really good.
Well, a lot of people want to take pictures because their kids want
to. This is nothing to do with family. It's the key. You
don't need a motion to adjourn, or is there any other business?
There's a couple things with regards to the documenting the notable people. If you think that there's a property with a notable person on it, here's the National Park Service has a guideline for what you should be looking for. So if you want to know, it's available online. But if you want to know what you need to get a house on for a notable person, they have a manual.
Did you search for
Yeah, just type in significant person, okay? And we should probably just send an email around to everybody with this link. Because I have one for landscaping and all the things that we have on here.
Good stuff so far.
Okay, motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
I'll let you bar and Josh. Thank you. Meeting on February 27th.
Five o'clock.
Thanks, everyone.
Yes, thank you guys for your hard work. We appreciate it.
I'll find my individual ones.
I'll get them.